Don't you love Christmas? How many of you love Christmas? I love Christmas. What a great time of year. Have you done all your shopping? Who's done with your shopping? Shopping. How many of you love shopping? Rebecca doesn't wait till Christmas to shop. She loves shopping all year round. And at Christmas, she shops like a bull. She shops like a bull. That means she charges everything. And just kidding. All right, just okay. Somebody gave me an early Christmas gift. They gave me a book on anti-gravity. I can't put it down. It's amazing. It's fantastic. But Christmas is the great exchange. So the day after Christmas, there are more gift exchanges the day after Christmas than any day of the year. People bringing their gifts back. Gift exchange, right? But Christmas itself, I don't want to talk about that takes your gifts back, but I thought it just kind of tied in with the concept here, but that Christmas is the great exchange. Really, Christianity is the great exchange. Christmas is the greatest exchange that ever took place on the planet. Think about it. Jesus exchanged heaven for earth, perfection for pain, comfort for suffering. He exchanged divinity for humanity. The Creator became the created. He exchanged holiness for sin, but He did it all for a reason, so that we could exchange sin for righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, He made Him, it's talking about God made Jesus, He made Him who knew no sin. This is an exchange. And watch, it's a two-way exchange. Jesus exchanged something so that we could exchange something. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. He exchanged heaven to come to earth so that we could leave earth and go to heaven. That's a pretty good exchange right there, isn't it? That's an awesome exchange. He did that so that we could exchange punishment for reward, so that we could exchange bondage for freedom, so that we could exchange sorrow for joy. Maybe you're looking at Christmas this year and saying, you know, I'm sad. I'm sad about some stuff. Well, I want to tell you, Christmas is the great exchange. You need to exchange that sorrow for joy, because that's what Jesus came to earth to do. And it's possible. It happens on the inside. It's not going to come in a package and a gift in the natural. Thank God for those. But there's a better gift, a greater gift that goes down on the inside of you. Because the real struggles in life take place on the inside. Christianity is an inside-out religion. It's not from the outside in. Jesus died to heal us on the inside, to save us on the inside, to deliver us on the inside, to bring joy on the inside, to remove the pain. And a lot of people, the pain of life concentrates and comes to bear on them at this time of year. And I want to tell you, you need to come to this place where you exchange that pain. It's enough. It's long enough. If you've been carrying that for a year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, it's time to let it go and exchange that pain for some freedom, for some blessing, for some healing, for some joy in your life, because that's what Christmas is all about. Christmas is the great exchange, to exchange your fear for faith. I struggle with fear. It's easy to struggle with fear. It's a common thing to struggle with fear. But I'm telling you that if we get Jesus on the inside of us, when I struggle with fear, I go to the Word and I feed my spirit, and faith overrides, and I found out how to exchange my fear for faith. It keeps coming back, but I keep getting rid of it. What do you struggle with that keeps coming back, but you need to keep getting rid of it? You need to keep coming to God. Come to the Word. Come to prayer. Exchange your fear for faith. Have you lived in fear this past year? You look back and say, fear, worry, doubts. I had all these struggles. I believe next year can be the best year of your life. I believe next year can be better than this year. I believe that this Christmas you can make an exchange with God to live better next year than you did last year. Amen. We can exchange confusion for purpose. Have you ever, what am I supposed to do? And that's why we have discovery once a month, to try to help you, to try to guide you, to see how you were uniquely made. I'm not going to create it. I can't really tell you, but we have some tools to help you see how you were uniquely made, because your design reveals your destiny and there's a purpose for your life. No more do you need to go through the rest of your life confused. What am I here for? What's this life all about? There's purpose in this life. And Christmas is about that great exchange, exchanging the confusion about life for purpose. How about exchanging sickness for health? I know this is a struggle. I've seen times in the past where I've been healed instantly, and there's been times where I had to keep on believing. That's what I want to tell you. And it happens on the inside. Keep feeding your spirit on the inside, the Word of God, and don't give up. Don't give up on exchanging sickness for health. How about exchanging dread for hope? Do you look to the future with dread, with negativity, and say, I don't like, it doesn't look good? How about exchanging that? I think the meaning of Christmas and the value of Christmas this season is to exchange that negative outlook on life for one of hope.
Yeah.
Hope is important. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. 1 Corinthians 13 says, now abide at these three, faith, hope, and love. So hope is very important. How about exchanging dread for hope? How about exchanging hell for heaven? I may have already made that decision. What a great time of the year to exchange that negative outlook for the future for a positive outlook. How about exchanging death for life? Christmas is the great exchange. What do you need to exchange? I want to make it personal. What do you need to exchange? What can you exchange this year, this Christmas? How about a bad name for a good name? We talked a couple weeks, I shared about how we pick up the wrong name sometime. People speak stuff over us and we adopt that name. Maybe you need to get rid of that name this year that you've been calling yourself and give yourself a new name. Maybe you need to get rid of the name that somebody spoke over you. Stupid, slow, not enough, less than, too small, too big, failure, you're never going to make it, and trade that in for a new name like brilliant, genius, champion, winner, overcomer, more than enough, I'm a giant killer. How about trading that old name for a new name this Christmas? Exchange that name. That's what Jesus is all about. He wants to change your outlook on the inside so that things change on the outside. Christmas is the great exchange, the greatest exchange that there ever is. How about changing a poor self-image for a new self-image? I shared this message a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to pick it up again next year, but I begin to realize, and I see in my own life, how so many times I face a situation, and I tell myself how hard it's going to be, how difficult it's going to be, how I'm not going to be able to do well, I'm not going to say the right things, and I'm beginning to see how much of a poor self-image I carry around in my life. And God's speaking to me and saying, you need to change that. You need to go into a situation and go, oh, I don't know what I'm going to say. I'm going to mess this up. Have you ever thought that? I'm going to mess it up. And God's telling me, don't think that way. Think, God's going to show me what to say and teach me. That's what the Bible says. He said, don't worry about it. He said, in that moment, the Holy Spirit. And I've been catching myself, and I didn't realize how much of a poor self-image I have. And God wants to change that. And God wants to change that in your life. And what have negative things, have people spoken over your life that you don't even realize how much you carry with you every day? And I tell you that this year is time to exchange it for a better self-image. And knowing that God's on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit, one plus God makes a majority. You're with God and God's with you. And things can change. Next year can be better than last year. Can I get an amen if you believe that? How about exchanging a life of fear and insecurity for a life of faith and confidence? Jesus died for you. He took your place. You're valuable. How much is something worth? You ever ask somebody, what is this thing worth? And a lot of people will say, well, it's worth what somebody will pay for it. That's what it's worth, right? It's worth what somebody will pay. And you might look at yourself and, what am I worth? Think about what God was willing to pay for you. His only son. He didn't have 12 sons and said, I'll give up one. He said he had one son and he gave up what was most precious. That's how valuable you are. Establish your value not on what somebody has said, not on what the world says, but what God said about you. The God who created you said, you're so valuable, I will trade the most precious thing I have for you. Woo! That's pretty valuable right there. You're valuable. God gave his only son for you. What do you need to exchange this Christmas? How about let's start thinking about changing ordinary for extraordinary? Would that be a good exchange to exchange ordinary? How many would like to live an extraordinary life, not just an ordinary life? I'd like to move into the supernatural and the extraordinary. And I believe God wants us to have a better 2020 than 2019. And I believe that 2020 needs to be the year of the extraordinary. The Christian life itself is not ordinary. Did you know that? It's supposed to be extraordinary. And here's what I found out. How does this work? When you're faithful, this is interesting. Because some of us are waiting for God to do something. And what I've found in my life is God's waiting for me to do something. Because he's not holding out. He's willing to open the windows of heaven. He's waiting for me to do something to cause that supernatural response from heaven. And here's a very simple process, is that when you're faithful with the ordinary, you set up the extraordinary. And really, that's what Christmas is all about. When you think about the life and the story of Joseph and Mary, they were faithful in the ordinary. The Bible says they honored God. They went to the temple. They honored the sacrifices. They did what was right. They had faith in their heart. They were faithful in the ordinary. You can see that in Joseph. He was a good man. And you can see that in Mary when she said, be unto me as when the angel said, you're going to have a child. And she's like, how is that even possible? And then he explained it and she said, be it unto me as you have said, I'm your servant. She humbled herself, but she prepared herself for that moment in the nitty-gritty of life, in the daily routine of life. And I want to say to you that you can prepare yourself for an extraordinary, supernatural moment like she experienced by the nitty-gritty, the daily routine. Your future is held in your daily routine. You can tell what your future is going to be if I can see your daily routine. And this is what opens the door to the extraordinary is the ordinary. The door to the supernatural is held in the natural. What you do with every minute of every day and the things that God's given you with your time and your talent and your treasure and your body and your mind and your hands and your mouth, it's unlocking the secret to tomorrow in your life. Mary and Joseph, they were faithful in the ordinary. Joseph, when he found out his wife was pregnant, he said, how can this happen? And the Bible says he was honored. He says, I'm going to put her away secretly. I'm going to protect her. I'm going to cover her. And he didn't know. And then the angel talked to him. But how did they prepare themselves for that? By being faithful in the ordinary. These shepherds were out in the field being faithful in the ordinary. And angels came and sang and told them of a mighty thing, peace, because they were faithful in the ordinary. And I'm telling you, it's as simple as that for you and me. It's being faithful in the day-to-day challenges of life. Be faithful in the ordinary, and God will open up the extraordinary in the coming year. How many would like to have that in your life? And you might say, yeah, well, I'll be faithful when God does something extraordinary. No, God will do something extraordinary when I'm faithful in the ordinary. Every day, reading my Bible. See, that's such a little thing. Yeah, it is. And that's the thing that God's looking at to see if we're faithful. Giving my tithes. That takes huge faith to take a portion, a tenth of my income and give it to God. And that just seems so mundane, so ordinary. But it sets up the extraordinary. Praying for others. It sets up little things we can do, serving in the nursery, and God releases extraordinary blessings. Psalm 1 says this, verses 1 through 3. How blessed, how many would like to be blessed? How blessed is the man or the woman who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Three very ordinary things that you and I do every day. Walk, stand, sit. How many can walk? How many can stand? I'm not even going to ask you if you can sit because you're all sitting. So how many? Well, go ahead. How many can sit? All right. You say, well, Pastor, that's pretty simple. Yeah, that's how Christianity works. That's what it says. All you need to do is walk, stand, sit, but walk in the right place. Stand with the right people. Sit in the right seat. And look what happens. But he doesn't do certain things. And then his delight is in what? The law of the Lord. And in his law, what does he do? This is a simple thing. He meditates day and night. Do you know how much time we waste worrying, thinking, you know, thinking about what people said and what I'm going to do to get them back? And we could be using that time. It says to meditate on his law. Does he meditate? No, I'm just going to meditate on his law. And look what happens to the person that does that. He or she will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. Isn't that what the tree needs? And God knows what you need. The tree needs streams of water. It needs good ground. And God says, if you put me first, if you walk and sit and stand in the right place, meditate, he says, I'm going to feed you. I'm going to bring the streams of water to your life that you need. And everybody needs something different. And God knows how to bring what you need into your life by streams of water. And what happens? It yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither. And whatever he does, prospers. How many would like to be that person? And whatever you do, he prospers. Ordinary faithfulness leads to extraordinary blessing. Malachi chapter 3 puts it this, something very ordinary in our life. Bring the whole tithe, the tithe is a tenth of our income, into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me now in this, says the Lord Almighty. So we're doing something natural, right? And watch, the natural unlocks the supernatural. See if I will not open for you the windows of heaven. That's supernatural, isn't it? And what's he going to do? Pour out for you a blessing. You do something simple, he does something profound. You do something natural, he does something supernatural. You do something ordinary, he does something extraordinary. Then I'll rebuke the beyond that. How many of you know there's a devil loose, the earth is under curse, there's sin, there's destruction, there's pain. And watch the other part. He says, I'll rebuke the devourer for you. I don't know about you, but I like that part right there. So that it will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. All nations will call you blessed, and you shall be a delightful land. Just doing something natural sets up the supernatural. I can do something ordinary, and God does something extraordinary. Psalm 37:11 says, watch this, but the humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. How many would like to have abundant prosperity? It's a blessing. That's what the Bible says. Maybe you've closed your mind to it, but God says the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. He wants to bless his people because they know what to do with it. God would rather have the resources of the planet into his children. The devil wants the resources of the planet out of the hands of his children. So the devil confuses a lot of people with that, but the Bible says the humble will inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant prosperity. So see how simple it is? It doesn't say the great and the mighty will inherit this. It says the humble. It's simple. Anybody can humble themselves. I've found in my life that's one of the most challenging things to do in life is to humble ourselves. We all tend to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. And to get offended and to get angry. And God says, just humble yourself. That's how simple opening the windows of heaven and opening up the blessings and opening up the door to the extraordinary is. I can do something as simple as being humble and praying for people and blessing people instead of cursing people. The humble will inherit the land. Christmas is the great exchange. 1 Corinthians 8:9. I don't think there's any verse in the Bible that shows this exchange so profoundly as this verse says right this. It says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he is, what's Christmas about? Jesus Christ, right? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. That's an exchange, right? But why did he do that? Watch this. So that you through his poverty might become rich. He was rich and he became poor so that we're poor in so many areas that we can become rich. In what way? In every way. In any way. It's nothing's impossible for God. He wants you to be rich spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially, socially, in every area. He exchanged all that. He gave up everything that heaven had to come to earth so that we could leave earth and go to heaven. And while we're on earth, to have the abundant blessing. Mark 10 says 100 times whatever you give up, he'll give it back to you. Exchanging the ordinary for the extraordinary, the natural for the supernatural. Christianity is the great exchange. Poverty for rich, sorrow for joy, turmoil for peace, peace on earth. We give gifts at Christmas because Christmas was the biggest gift ever that God gave to earth. He gave his son to earth. He gave the biggest gift ever. We give gifts because he gave us the greatest gift. Let's exchange ordinary for extraordinary, natural for supernatural. I think it's time for the church to rise to a new level of operating in the supernatural. Jesus, even though he was fully man and fully God, he operated continually in the supernatural. He encouraged his disciples to operate in the supernatural. He said, the same things I do, you shall do in greater things. And they went about healing and ministering and helping and operating. And I believe that next year we're going to see more supernatural. I see supernatural stuff all the time, all the time. Maybe we need to talk about it more. Maybe we need to lift this up more because Christianity is not about natural stuff. It's about supernatural stuff. A couple weeks ago, the lead team, we went We've been trying to do this for a long time. We went on a fishing trip to Cedar Key on the worst day of the year. It has small craft warnings we got on the radio. Small craft warnings are in effect. We said, we don't care. God's going. We've been trying to do this. We had a great day. When we went to Cedar Key, there was only two trailers in the parking lot. We thought, uh-oh. When we came back, there was no trailers in the parking lot. Everybody's gone. We were the only ones out there. But see, we had a good time because we went to just, you know, fellowship. But when we got there, there's this lady at this that works there. And I said something to her. She said something to me. She's a real nice lady. We went out fishing. We fished until we couldn't stand anymore. The boat was rocking. The wind was blowing. We said, well, let's go get something to eat. And everybody thought that was a good idea. And we came back, and that lady was still there. She said, how'd it go, fish? I said, well, we didn't catch any fish. Carl actually did catch one fish, but we had to send it back. All day we fished. We only caught one fish, but we had a good time. But we came back, and that lady was there, and she said something to me. And I said, well, you know, still a good day just to get out. And I went into the restroom and came out, and Carl was talking to her, and I walked up. And she was telling Carl about some sicknesses she had, and she's getting ready to have surgery, and some family situations. And she's telling him, and I said, can we pray for you? She said, I'd love that. So we laid hands on her, and I started praying and praying for her, for her physical situation. And as I was praying, I'm talking about, let's believe God for supernatural stuff in our life. And, you know, that's a good thing, but that's kind of natural, you know, just to pray for. But as I was praying, I just started saying stuff that I hadn't, you know, I started talking about. I said, this Christmas is going to be the best. It's going to be a new Christmas. I don't remember exactly what I said because it came up out of my spirit. It didn't come up out of my head. But I started basically prophesying as I was praying. That's what the Bible says you can do. And I started saying stuff about Christmas was going to be special, and it's going to be different, it's going to be a great Christmas this year, and your husband's going to be touched, and these people in your family, these other people in your life are going to be touched. Because, and then I prayed for her, then Carl prayed for her, and we got done, and she was just bawling. She was just crying. She says, you have no idea what you just said. She says, there's no way you could have known the details that you just said. See, that's supernatural. Yeah. She said, I didn't tell you this, she said, but I haven't celebrated Christmas in 20 years since my mother died. And I decided a couple weeks ago I was going to do Christmas for the first time in 20 years. And you just said everything that was in my heart and opened the door. She was crying. She was laughing. She was hugging us. She said, oh, God sent you here. And I said, you're right. God sent us here. And you know what? That's even better than catching fish to share with that. That was the highlight of my day, the highlight of my week. I'd rather do that than catch 100 fish. I'd rather pray for that and see God move in the supernatural, because you know what? God wants to move in the supernatural in your life. That didn't happen because I was a pastor. It happened because I went fishing. Come on. It happened because you're just going through the normal routine of life. It'll happen at Publix, at the gas station, at work. It'll happen wherever you act, because God is on the inside of you and He wants to do something supernatural through you in somebody else's life. That's what Christmas is all about. It's about the supernatural. Moses was faithful in the natural. He took care of his father's sheep for 40 years. He was faithful in the wilderness, watching these stinking sheep for 40 years, day in, day out there. He was faithful in the little thing. And what happened? Because he was faithful in the natural, God opened up the door to the supernatural. He was faithful with the ordinary. God did something extraordinary. And in his ordinary routine of life, taking care of the sheep, he saw a bush burning that didn't quit burning. He said, they haven't invented propane yet. Why is that thing still burning? Let me check it out. Maybe I can get a new invention. And he walked over and saw the bush burn and burn and burn. And then the bush spoke to him. A voice came out of the bush and said, Moses, this is holy ground. Take your sandals off. I want to do something supernatural with you. And he went back and freed the people from Pharaoh. He parted the Red Sea. He struck a rock and water came out. He called down fire from heaven, fire by night, cloud by day, manna from heaven, whatever. Supernatural things happened in his life because he was faithful for 40 years. He didn't quit. He kept doing the natural, and God opened up the door to the supernatural. You might look at your life and say, oh, it's so mundane, it's so routine. I'm just changing diapers in the nursery. I'm just working here. I'm just being faithful in the little thing. Keep on being faithful in the little thing. You're setting up something supernatural. You're setting up something amazing that's going to happen in your life. God's going to show up and show out. Keep doing the natural. Keep being faithful in the little things. Woo! Glory. Yeah. I don't know about you, but I preach myself happy. I don't know if anybody else. David took care of his father's sheep David was just faithful in little things. He was the youngest boy, and he was despised, and they called him names, and they didn't like him. His father basically disowned him, didn't even bring him out with the other brothers. But he kept on being faithful, kept on being faithful in the little thing, kept on taking care of the sheep. A lion grabbed the sheep, and he took it back. A bear grabbed the sheep, and he took it back. He said, I'm going to be faithful in the little thing. And God opened up the supernatural, and with one small stone, he killed a giant, and he freed Israel from their captivity, and he became the king of Israel. Because he was faithful in little things, supernatural things begin to take place in his life. What has God given you to be faithful in that maybe in this past year you begin to despise? Don't despise the little thing. Don't despise the ordinary. It's setting up the extraordinary in your life in the coming year. Christmas is all about exchanging ordinary for extraordinary. Even our houses all year, they look pretty ordinary. And then we decorate them and they look extraordinary. Isn't that amazing? TV transforms from crime shows to Hallmark movies. Come on, anybody like a Hallmark movie? Rebecca and I watched a couple Christmas. I know from the beginning what's going to happen. I still want to watch it. I know who's marrying who. I know who's going to be ugly and mean. And I know how it's going to end. And I want to watch it anyway. And I cry when it happens. And I knew it was going to happen an hour and a half ago. I love Christmas movies. And no more crime shows. We got Christmas. And then the other day, she said, watch this. This is really special. The White House Christmas. And it shows how hundreds of people come from all over the country and decorate. Then they show the White House. You know, the White House is old. It's like a couple hundred years old. And when they show it before, it's like, yeah, it's neat and clean. But you can tell it's kind of dated, you know. And then they come in and they bring all the lights and the trees. And they show the before and after. And it's like, wow, what a transformation to change from ordinary to extraordinary. Micanopy has gone from ordinary to extraordinary. They got in front of the town hall, it's all decorated. They got a Christmas tree. They got a nativity scene. They got the old John Deere tractor with Christmas lights on it. Streets everywhere, stores are being transformed because that's what Christmas is all about. It's about transformation. And why do we do this? Because one day all your prayers, all your giving, all your sacrifice will be turned into rewards in heaven. Earth will be turned into heaven. Pain will be turned into victory. Death will be turned into life. Sighing will be turned into singing. Mourning will be turned into dancing. Loss will be turned into gain. We've had losses. Maybe you've lost a loved one. One day it's going to be great gain when we see them again in heaven. Lack can be exchanged for abundance. Natural for supernatural. Crying for laughter. That's what Christmas is all about. Christmas is about turning things around. Christmas is about the lost being found. It's about the prodigal son coming home. You can be faithful in the ordinary, and God will set up the extraordinary. Look at this in Luke chapter 19. And he said to him, Jesus told a parable. It's a parable about how God relates to man. And the man gave some money to his servants. And then he came back and he found out they were what? Faithful with what he had given him. And look what he says. He said to them, well done, good servant, because you've been what? Faithful in a little thing. See, a lot of times we're waiting. Well, I'm waiting for something big to happen. You might be waiting the rest of your life if we're not being faithful in the little thing. When we're faithful in the little thing, we're setting up something big to happen. So he gave them something little, but that's what he said. He said, because you've been faithful in a very little thing. Very little thing. What little thing do you need to keep being faithful in? He said, well, look what he said. Watch this. This is crazy. You are to be an authority over 10 cities. 10 cities? 10 cities? People's lives? Only because you were faithful with just a little handful of resources. And sometimes you look at what you get, oh, this is so small. No, it's not small in the eyes of God. The smaller it is, the bigger the reward is. Because then you say, I'm going to be faithful in this because God's watching me. God's watching me to be faithful in this little thing. Maybe you begrudge God because of the cards that have been dealt you in life, but maybe he's just saying, I want to see how faithful you are with those cards that you've been dealt, and they're not the cards that you wanted, but what do you do with them? Amen. And how you handle what you've been given determines what you'll have in eternity and in the next level and next year and in 2020. How you've handled 19 determines what you're going to be in 2020. And you say amen or oh my. Some of you say oh my, I don't like that. Well, now it's time to change it. That's what Christmas is all about, the great exchange. Change what you've been doing so that you can get a better reward. That's what Christmas is all about. So I want to give you four little things to be faithful in, okay? In your notes is the blank, so you have to fill them in, but they're going to be up on the overhead. It's simple. Christianity is simple. It's profound. It's deep. It's supernatural. It's simple. It's so simple that many people miss it because they want something complicated. It's not complicated. It's simple. It's very simple. Four simple things. Four things you can be faithful. Little things. Number one, prayer. Anybody can do it. Anybody cannot do it. You know what? It's so easy to do it that it's so easy to not do it. It's just a decision. It's easy to not pray. It's easy to worry. It's easy to curse at people and get mad and get upset and fill your mind with negative things. It's just as easy to shift over into prayer and to begin to worship God and to begin to thank God and to lift people up. It's so easy. It's so easy to do that it's easy not to do. In January, we have what we've been having for a number of years, 21 days of prayer and fasting we're going to have. It's in your bulletin, January 5th through 25th, 21 days of prayer and fasting. You can go on our website and find out more about fasting. Start preparing yourself, start thinking. And then every Wednesday evening during that 3 weeks, we're going to have a prayer meeting right here. Maybe that's going to be a new habit to break, to start in your life. Break some old habits, start some new habits, and you say, you know, this, I'm going to come every Wednesday night. I'm going to come to that prayer meeting. And maybe you hear that, you say, I really don't know how to pray. Well, just watch some other people pray. Listen to some other people pray. Learn how to pray, and then go home and do it. But you know how easy prayer is? It's just like talking. Can you talk to somebody? That's what prayer is talking to God. And don't just do all the talking, do some listening. That's what prayer is, talking and listening. Talk to God and listen. He speaks to you. His Spirit's on the inside of you. Yeah, He'll speak to you. The second thing, four little things that you can be faithful in. Number one is prayer. Number two is the Bible. There it is. You've got your Bible, the most printed book in the world. In fact, every year there are more Bibles sold every year than any other. The top 10 bestsellers don't even equal the Bible because it's God's Word. And how can you be faithful in that? Read it every day. Read a little bit every day. Come on, feed your spirit, man. Maybe you've never read through the Bible. We have two programs on our website. You can read through the Bible in a year, 15 minutes a day, or you can read through the New Testament by reading 5 minutes a day. Pretty simple. I would suggest this. If you've never read the Bible, start with the New Testament. Read through the New Testament a couple times, then do a study where you're reading the Old and the New together. Because the New Testament explains the Old Testament. But maybe you've never read the Bible. Maybe you're going to start that next year. You say, I'm going to have this simple discipline and read through the Bible. But definitely every day, get a rhema word. The Logos is the written word. The rhema is the now active word for me today. I get that every day. I want to get a rhema from God. And I carry that all this. Something that I read is like, that's what I needed today, and I carry that around, and you need that. You need to feed your spirit, man. Just like your body needs bread or food, your spirit needs food of the Word of God. Four little things you can be faithful in. Number one was prayer. Number two is the Bible. Number three is church. Church is God's invention. Jesus said, I will build my church. Now listen, don't go to church. Be the church. But can you bring it up a level next year than when you've been? Can you, you know, be the church? Don't go once in a while when you feel like it, when you get up in time. Make up your mind. If it hair lips the devil, I'm going to church. I'm getting up. I'm going to church. And you make up your mind. That's a good change you can make for 2020. And say, I'm going to be faithful in church. I'm going to church every Sunday, not when the wind blows the right direction. I'm going to church. And that's a little thing that God finds faithful. And don't just go to church. Be the church. You are the church. The church is people. Find your place. Find how you're connected. Be the church. The church wouldn't be here if people didn't come and give their time, their talent, and their treasures. Ask God how you can take it to the next level next year and be the church. Four things to be faithful in. I'll give you three already. Prayer, Bible, church, and four is giving. It's giving because your heart is connected to your giving. What you give, it's the test of Christianity to give. It's a test of faith. What can I give? Christianity is about giving. Giving your finances, giving your time, giving your talent, giving a tenth of everything. It takes huge faith. But see, that's where God's trying to take us to the next level next year. It's a little thing to give God 10% of our income. But I'm going to tell you, It offers huge blessings. It opens the doors to the supernatural. We could go through testimony after testimony. When I got saved and I read it, I went back and tithed on everything I had earned up to that point and tithed everything I've ever earned since that. And I know there's a treasure laid up in heaven, and God has kept bad things from happening to me because of that very simple thing. It's a little thing. Christmas is about the great exchange. Exchange your rugged past for a better future. Exchange yesterday for a better tomorrow. Exchange your old life for a new life. Yeah, that's what Christmas is all about. Exchange that bad name for a good name. Keep praying and asking and searching, what bad name have you picked up that you need to dump so you have a better year? Exchange your pain for power. You say, I experience a lot of pain in my life. How about exchanging it with the Holy Spirit for some power that you can minister to other people out of? Exchange your sorrow for joy. Don't just stay and say, that's my life, I'm just going to be sorry the rest of my life. No, why do you want to do that when you can exchange it for some joy, for some freedom, for some happiness, and have a better life because of what Jesus did? Exchange bitterness for rejoicing, weakness for strength, fear for faith. So, you know, some stores, they don't like to take stuff back. Did you notice that? I don't go there anymore. If they won't take that stuff back, I ain't going there. Because I don't know. They don't make stuff like they used to. It doesn't work. I won't be able to take it back, right? Don't you like a store that takes it back if it don't work? What I found out about God, He'll always take something. He'll always do an exchange. He's never closed. He doesn't even ask for a receipt. He just says, if you want to get rid of it, I want to exchange it for you. That's what Christmas is, the great exchange. He'll exchange anything about your life that you don't like. He'll exchange it for something good. He's a good God. He's like the store that only has good stuff. They don't have any bad stuff. Maybe we've picked up some bad stuff through the course of life that we want to go to the store of heaven and exchange for something that will never break and never wear out and last for all eternity. We need to do some exchanging. God's always ready. He's always there. Heavenly stuff, you can change natural. You can change negative stuff for positive stuff. Supernatural stuff. You can exchange pain for healing. Loss for victory. Sin for forgiveness. Curse for blessing. Have you ever felt like maybe your life's under a curse? Like, man, nothing works out. Hey, Christ redeemed us from the curse. You need to go in prayer and take that to God. Maybe get somebody to pray with you. Exchange that curse for a blessing. He's always open, even on Christmas. You know what? God told me He's going to be open all day on Christmas. All day. He's not going to close. He's going to be ready. He's going to be there for you. Let's see the supernatural in 2020. Let's lift our vision higher. Let's go from where we are to where we need to be. Christmas makes it possible. Let's reach more students in 2020 than we reached last year. Can you lift up your vision for that? Let's use this building to the fullest in the next year. Let's capitalize on this location. Let's be the hands and feet of Jesus. Let's have more small groups than we had. I love these new small groups that came up, the homeless feeding groups. We got great small groups that are ministering. Let's have more. Let's lift our vision. What do you see for 2020? For your life, for the church's life, to reach more people. I have a dream. I have a vision of us reaching more people now that we're in Gainesville. More dream teams and more people on dream teams. More healings taking place. More faith in our church. More power increase. Let's exchange our power for His power. One last scripture. Look at this. Jesus said, John 14:12, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me. Is that anybody here today? He who believes in me. That's all. That's all. That's all it takes to get the rest of this verse. Watch. He who believes in me, the works that I do, will he do, and greater. What? Come on, Jesus. Yeah, Jesus said it. He said it. Got to be true. Greater works than these will you do because I go to the Father. Jesus did some pretty amazing stuff. And he said, it's so simple. He who believes, you can do what I did and even greater things. How many want to have greater things? How many want to go into that level? Let's exchange living for self for living for God. Let's exchange my glory for His glory. Let's exchange earth for eternity. What do you need to exchange? Bow your heads and just pray. I believe God's going to show everybody today something simple, something you need to exchange. Crud happens. Junk happens in life. People say negative things. We carry around burdens. I want everybody to leave something behind today before you walk out of this room. A negative word, something somebody said over you, some anger you have. Right now, when you're sitting here in the service and you're angry at somebody because you know you're going to see them on Wednesday and you're something happened last week, there's a struggle going on, would you just give it to the Lord? Would you exchange it for something better? Would you exchange some pain, some anger, some hurt, some wound? And yeah, they did you wrong. Yep, they did. But maybe you need to exchange it for something better, a better future. Maybe last year you say it was a pretty good year, but how many would like to have a better year? And how many would like to go into the supernatural? I want to see, maybe you say, I want to see people healed. I want to see people saved. I want to see lives change. I want you to use me, God. God wants to use every one of us, not two or three of us. He wants to see, what do you need to exchange? And as we're just praying, Lord, I just ask you to show everybody. And I just want you to take what you want to exchange and just, you don't have to physically do it. See yourself, take what you want to get rid of, and you've got it in your hands. And now hold it up to heaven. Hold it up to God. And I want you to see God reaching down and taking it, getting rid of it. Now your hands are empty, okay? You see that? Your hands are empty. He took what you want to get rid of. Now watch this. He's going to put a package in your hands. I don't know what it is. God knows what it is. He's going to show you. And now I want you to receive it. Take it and put it in your heart. Whoo, glory. Something good. Something good. You got rid of something bad and you just got something good. Thank you, Jesus. Change lives. Change us. Change our future. Change us from natural to supernatural, ordinary to extraordinary. Change every life, Lord God. Give us a new Christmas, a better Christmas. That old Christmas that you had last year that had so much pain, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Get ready for a better year, a better Christmas, a better 2020. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I got a very important question for everybody, and that is this. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? You might be here today. You say, I don't know. Think so. Hope so. Not sure. That's a pretty important consequence to not be sure about. What a great time to be sure about that just before Christmas. And you can know that you have eternal life. You say, yeah, but does anybody know? Yeah, the Bible says, I've written to you that you may know that you have eternal life. How do you get eternal life? Someone asked Jesus that question. Here's what he said. He said, you must be born again. That means there comes a time in your life by an act of your will, you surrender your life to Christ. It's that simple. It just happens on the inside of you. You give your life to, you ask him to forgive your sins. He comes and he lives on the inside of you. And he exchanges your old life for a new life. He exchanges your sin for righteousness. If you've never done that, you're not sure if you've ever done that. That's why you're here today. In just a moment, I'm going to lead you a prayer. You might be here today and say, you know what, Pastor, I did that in the past, but today I'm really not where I want to be with God. I've got a lot of baggage I want to get rid of, and I want to make a fresh start. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If either one of those two apply to you, I'm going to pray for you. Just slip up your hand real quick and say, pray for me, Pastor. Pray for me. Anybody else? Pray for me. I'm making a decision. Thank you. Anybody else? Maybe it's the first time. Maybe you want to surrender your life to Christ just before Christmas. Anybody else? Pray this prayer with me. Everybody help them out. Pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. You died on a cross for my sins. God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come and live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day, forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer. Meant business with God. That's awesome, awesome, awesome. Listen, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, on the connection card is a little box, and if you check it, I'll send you some special materials in the mail. At the end of the service, we're going to have prayer teams up front to pray with anybody that needs prayer. If you don't have a Bible, we have Bibles. We'd love to give you a Bible, put your name in it so you can start reading it. Don't forget to put your connection cards in the offering basket when it comes by. We're going to receive our offering. My offering scripture is Matthew 2:11. It's part of the Christmas story. It says, after coming into the house, it's talking about the wise men, right? They came from afar. They saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshiped him. And watch what they did. And then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Today, when you're offering, just this is a Christmas offering to God. Just you're giving it to Jesus. He's still alive. He still receives these gifts. There's three ways you can give. You can give through the envelope. You can give in the basket. You can give on the website. You can text to give. There's information in the bulletin about that. If you're giving the Christmas offering, just mark that. We know that that's for that. Let's pray over the offering right now. Father, we thank you for these gifts, good seed into good soil. We command these gifts to win souls, make disciples, and I command a blessing to the giver, a hundredfold return, which is what you promised your disciples. And right now I speak this blessing over your people that you told Moses to speak over your people. I say they're blessed coming in, blessed going out, in the city, in the country, in their home, in the field, when they lie down, when they get up. Blessed is their bread and their water, their basket, their bowl, their barn, their bank account, their job, their home, their car, their animals, everything that they have. I command the blessing of God upon them. I say if the enemy comes against them one way, he'll flee seven ways before their face. No weapon formed against them shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against them in judgment, they will condemn with the word of God. They're the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. They'll lend and not borrow, and all they put their hand to, they'll prosper. I call increase into God's people, spiritual, emotional, physical, financial, social increase, blessings from every direction, opportunity to pray for the sick and lead people to Christ in Jesus' name. Everybody agree with that said?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you as you give. I want to encourage you to invite someone to the Christmas Eve service. People are looking for something meaning about Christmas. Think of somebody. We have invitations by the door. Take them with you. I invited some guys this last week. They said they're coming and bringing all their friends. So it's going to be